This is the Morning Conversation on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
And live from Washington, D.C. this morning, Congressman Cliff Bentz representing the 2nd District, which includes part of Douglas County. Congressman, good morning.
Morning, Kyle. Great to be with you.
So, a lot going on this time of year. We just have a few minutes. I wanted to get right to it. Forest health was a big topic this week with, you could kind of take it from there and tell us what took place in the House this week.
Right. Well, we had a chance to hold a vote on the Fix Our Forests Act, which did pass across the floor. Very, 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 very happy for that. It has a number of different provisions that would help us get back into the woods at different levels. And so it's made it past the House. Now the question becomes, will it make its way across the Senate? And that's a real question, since everybody's gone home for October, because we're getting ready for the election. But as bills go, this is a very, very thoughtful bill put together by Bruce Westerman, who is chair of the Natural Resource Committee. I know him well because he asked me to be, and I am chair of the Subcommittee on Water, Wildlife, and Fisheries. But this bill has a simplification of the environmental reviews to speed them up, a end to some of the litigation, the new ways of trying to bring tribal groups into the forest using their political power to try to get back into the woods, and so on. It's a really, really good and comprehensive bill. I hope the Senate takes it up.
Now, I understand that it got at least a decent amount of support from the Democratic side as well.
It got some support. I wish it would have had more, but so what? We got some bill. Some people recognize just how awful the fires are. I went down on the floor and spoke in favor of the bill and got to watch various Democrats stand up and speak against it, which I thought was ridiculous because it's a really good bill. And then a number of Democrats stand up and speak in favor of it. So that was really a welcome bipartisan moment. Very, very few of those around here.
Now, given the break pre-election, any idea when it gets onto the Senate schedule? Is that possible by the end of this calendar year?
Boy, I'll tell you, everything is up in the air as we await the outcome of the election. So one of the reasons you don't see much happening in the 6 months before an election is because everybody's hoping that their futures and fortunes will be helped by the outcome of the election. So, but right now there's much debate about who's going to win the presidency, who's going to win the House, who's going to win the Senate, and until that shakes out, it's hopeless to predict what will happen in any of these spaces. Everybody's waiting right now.
We'll come back to the election in a moment. I wanted to ask you, we've talked about this before, the delisting of the gray wolf, and it seemed like there was more out on that this week. What can you tell us?
So we, of course, I am totally supportive of delisting the wolf. Believe it or not, the United States federal government, if you will, is supportive, U.S. Fish and Wildlife, of delisting the wolf. What's happened is the delisting efforts by the current administration have been taken to court, and the judges have stopped the delisting, which is really, really surprising and really sad. So what we're doing now is trying to work through different rules that address the continued listed wolf, and they're appealing the court's injunction against delisting. So that's where it is right now, and nothing further has happened other than we do have enormous support politically, but not at this point through the courts.
So at this point, is it just sort of wait and see on this, or is there any kind of a timeline for a definitive decision?
Yes, it's a wait and see to see what happens on appeal. It's also I say that because I haven't checked recently to see where we are in the litigation side of things. on the House side of things, what we would like to do is, and we've repeatedly tried, is bring a bill that would force the delisting, but that does not have the support it needs to get through and across the Senate. So we're waiting. But I don't, when I say waiting, it's kind of like all these other issues, waiting to see who wins the election.
Yeah, let's talk about that. What are your thoughts about what might happen in terms of the House and Senate? And how does a presidential election impact the voter turnout, which, of course, can impact the House and Senate races as well?
Well, you're right. The presidential election at the top of the ticket will drive turnout. And ever since Biden chose not to run and his vice president chose to step up, there's been much more enthusiasm on the Democrat side for the ticket. Hardly surprising. But the current betting, if you will, is that if the election were held today, it would be extremely close. The prognostication I heard yesterday in various meetings I attended was that the bump that the vice president received, Ms. Harris, is waning, and that former President Trump's popularity is increasing. And so as time passes, we grow closer to the action day of the election, it appears that the Trump's fortunes are better. And I'm happy for that since I endorsed him and he endorsed me. So I'm hoping that he's a winner. On the side of the House right now, we anticipate that we will actually pick up 6 or 7 seats. That's how things sit today. But I got to tell you, Kyle, things change so quickly. It's in this business now. It's just amazing. On the Senate side, it appears right now that the Republicans will pick up 3 seats. And we're hopeful that indeed happens. Those seats are in Montana, Ohio, and West Virginia. There are 2 or 3 other seats that are definitely in play. So we'll see how that turns out. But right now, the money betting is, as I understand it from what I was told yesterday, they think that Trump will win a squeaker. They think that the House will remain Republican, and we think we will for sure take over the Senate.
Now, it's been an interesting election year, to say the least. One of those elements, too, is not one, but 2 assassination attempts against former President Trump. Is that kind of a bit rattling to you when you're a member of Congress?
Well, it is. And what's really, I guess, surprising is how quickly people forget how close he came to being killed. It's just absolutely ridiculous. We held a couple of hearings here in my committees on what went wrong just a few days after he was actually shot and hit. We held a hearing in Judiciary on this issue and had the FBI in front of us. And of course, the questions were obvious. Why in the world did that crazy situation happen? And the facts are starting to come out. It was a horrible case of negligence on the part of the Secret Service. But yes, it's shocking.
When I looked back, it had been 40 years since we had an assassination attempt on a candidate at that level, a former president. But to have 2 of them, and as best as I can tell, I don't think anybody's ever faced 2 as a candidate or as a president.
Yes, the you are, as far as I know, correct. Although I haven't gone back and made an exhaustive search of that, but I will say that the fact 2 different people have tried to kill a president is a horrible commentary on current nature of things and the state of people's attitudes. I will say that I think social media has an incredible impact on people, and I think as time passes, when we try to sort out what's driving these folks, I think that we'll find that social media has a big part of it.
What are your priorities as a member of Congress for the balance of this calendar year?
So I've been spending a great deal of time trying to stop the designation of about 1 million acres in Malheur County over adjacent to Idaho as a national monument. I'm trying to stop that from happening. I've been working on this with local groups for many years. The Obama administration threatened to make a monument of about 2.5 million acres in Malheur County. The county is about 6 million acres in size. That we headed off, thank goodness. And then more recently, there's been pressure by various outside groups and people in Portland to try to force a monument of about 1,100,000 acres in Malheur County along the Owyhee River and down in that space. I'm very familiar with this space. I grew up in part of it. My grandfather owned a ranch down in that part of the world. And so I know exactly how fragile that land is and how bad it would be to have a national monument with thousands, tens of thousands of people perhaps tromping across it and wrecking the land. And not to mention all of the prohibitions on actually trying to put out fires and stop invasive species, the type of weeds that are growing out there right now, just insane. So, I've been spending a lot of time trying to head that off. And the good news is Senator Ron Wyden has been opposed to the monument also and is helping. So that's really good news for the people in Malheur County that Senator Wyden is stepping up to help out to protect the land down there. There are so many other things going on, but we're starting to gear up for trying to figure out how in the world to preserve some of the Trump tax cuts, that many of those expire next year. So we'll be doing our best there. We've been trying to do stuff just like this Fix Our Forest Act to try to get ahead of some of the terrible fires that have been happening to get back into the woods and remove stuff, fuel from them. We've been working on any number of issues having to do with water, and I've been holding hearings all over the place to try to bring attention to the challenges we face there, why we should have more storage and why we should quit taking dams out. And those kinds of hearings are ongoing. I'm happy to be a chair of a committee to be able to bring those issues to the attention of the American people. And Kyle, as you might guess, I could go on literally for 20 minutes on this issue, but there's a huge number of things to be focusing on, whether it's driving down the cost of fuel and trying to fight inflation and try to head off some of the crazy things my Democrat colleagues have done. We're working on all of those things.
All right. Out of time for now. Speaking of time, Congressman Cliff Bentz live from Washington, D.C. Hopefully we'll talk again before the election. Congressman, thanks for being on this morning.
Thank you, Kyle. Really appreciate it.
8:43 at the Morning Report.